it's me, Sean Capri. I'm in my car, and you're listening to the most horsepowerful podcast on the internet. It's the Xbox Drive. I'm on a Skype call with my friend Ryan Turford. He's the man on the moose, and on our journey today, I forgot the GoPro at home, and I don't have a video version on the YouTube, but I played some Far Cry 6 in Nickelodeon, that game that's like Smash, so jump on into the Xbox Drive. Bob! Greater than X.
Hello, Sean Capri.
I ran out of breath a little bit. That might have been the weakest baw since the origins of baws. I'm all dressed up, Ryan Turford, in my suit. I was at the office today. This is old school Xbox Drive. I'm actually driving home. I'm not just like wandering around. At this moment, I actually don't know which McDonald's I'm going to go to, but I feel extra pressure to find one because I don't have a video of me driving around. It's all a shame, but I'm happy to be talking to you. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing well. I'm not going to lie. I chuckled a little bit because you had quite the clean intro in there, you know, yep. Yelling about stuff. It almost sounded like you didn't know what you wanted to talk about, but that's okay. We're kind
There's
of in
so
that nebulous
things.
Zone of the middle of October where it's not quite Halloween yet, but it's close enough to Halloween
right.
where like the spooky
cool
stuff is kind of to happen. But also we're just in the thick of a bajillion games at the moment, John.
So all the games, Ryan.
That's just how it is.
Yep. All the open worlds, all the things, even like, and you know, you and I think had a pretty good sense of what this season had in store for us in terms of games we're going to be playing. And then all of a sudden, I feel like we're getting surprised even still. Maybe I am, maybe it's just me, but like, I kind of got, you know, especially this Nickelodeon game that we'll chat about, that kind of caught me off guard a little bit. And I see you played NHL. There's all the things. Far Cry 6 is gigantic. What the hell? I don't know if I'll ever finish that game. But I'll try. I'll damn well try. Metroid is happening. I talked about that on the Nintendo Drive. Things are happening, my friend. Tetris Effect Connected. Didn't expect to be playing that on Switch, but I am. Good times, dude.
Just all the things. All the things. Well,
all of them. We're trying.
Let's clean out the garage a little bit because, of course, folks at home, if you want to support the show, there's a number of cool ways you can do that. Number one, you can subscribe to us on your podcast feed of choice, whether it's Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Spotify. We're on all the things, so check us out on your podcast service of choice and listen to the audio version there. Also, if you leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, we will actually read it on the show. We don't have any to read this week because, surprisingly, we actually went through all the new ones that we got. But what if we do get a new one in the future? We will read it on the show in this segment. Last but not least, of course, you can watch a video version of this show over on YouTube, youtube.com/YumiaCapri. Unfortunately, this week, there is no video version because it's all Sean's fault.
Sorry.
But at the same time, you can go check out our video versions there. Also, if you want to throw a little tip in the old tip jar, patreon.com/YumiaCapri is how you do that. You can get early access to this and all of our content, as well as some exclusive content over there as well. So
shout out to the Patreon. Hang on a second. I'm going to just jump in. You can't see me or anything, so I'm going to brutally interrupt. Shout out to the Patreon. One of the reasons I'm going to blame my forgetting the camera at home was I was up till 2 a.m. doing the Pants Patreon podcast for Patrons podcast last night. I feel like last night was really good. People got to listen to it today as we're recording this. Yesterday, as most people are listening to it. So shout out to patreon.com/YumiaCapri. $3 and up, you get the exclusive content like that. And I am just jazzed up, overtired, loving playing games. I'm loving making content, Ryan. I'm going to see you very soon. And now my interruption is over.
That's true. Also, I didn't have it on the dock, but speaking of that, Sean, we should mention next weekend on the 22nd of October, we will be in Toronto at Fan Expo.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're at Fan Expo or just in Toronto and want to say hello to us, we'll be downtown. You know, just give us a shout out either on Discord or on Twitter at Sean Capri, at Ryan Turford, and let us know you want to hang out, and we'll hang out. We'll let hangouts commence, or sweet hangs.
And if you don't reach out to us, I will reach out to you. Some of you people I know around that area, and I will be inviting myself over to your house, assuming that you have food for us, and we'll eat all your snacks.
Jesus, Sean.
Pretend that you've offered that, like, you know, if you're ever in town, just come on over. We'll just pretend that you did that, and we'll call you up on that made-up offer that you didn't do. So there.
Well, I'm looking forward
to it, man. I'm invading Ontario next weekend.
It's going to be awesome. Well, let's get the show back on the road. Let's grab our 8-tracks, pop them in. It's time for the playlist. I don't know why I'm doing this with my hands. I'm doing all the stuff I normally do in the video with my hands.
I do it with my hands.
But like, no one can see it. So I don't even know who it's for. So, Sean, as you alluded to, you played a lot of games. Tell me about them. What'd you play?
Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl. I watched Maximilian Dude, one of my favorite streamers. He mostly does fighting games. He fired this up, I think, early access. And I was like, look at that little game. It looks actually pretty good. It looks nice little art style. And we actually got a code. We reached out and we received a review copy for this game. So thank you to the publishers for that. And so take it with a grain of salt. But I mean, you look at the game and I think you and I, when we first covered the release of this game, I was primarily excited about Powdered Toast Man because I'm ancient and my bones are dusty and I like Ren and Stimpy. And between that and Ninja Turtles, like, I'm kind of here for that. As it turns out, Ryan, there's a whole slew of other characters like SpongeBob and his friend Patrick and a whole bunch of Reptar, I think is a thing. A lot of things that I actually don't know. So I'm coming at this game with not like all of the Nickelodeon nostalgia. It's like my nostalgia is like the dinosaurs, you know, like Powdered Toast Man, etc. Yeah. So but with that said, you know, it is kind of what you expect. It's totally like Smash. There's a whole bunch of mascot characters in there and battling across a variety of different levels from all the different properties. My favorite, of course, I think there's probably two. The Technodrome from Ninja Turtles really caught me off guard. That one was pretty amazing. And the, of course, Ren and Stimpy, the Powdered Toast Man one, where you're kind of battling across like a kitchen table. There's like a bowl of cereal, mostly full of milk. There's all the different Ren and Stimpy kind of nostalgic kind of trinkets in the background. So I got to notice a lot of that. And I would only assume that those are all there for all the other levels of, you know, properties that I don't really understand.
Yeah.
The game actually, like, it's pretty good. It's pretty bare bones, but it's actually, you know, if you know how to play Smash, you know how to play this. And I actually had a lot of fun just kind of going through. Even the achievements really was the thing that kind of helped me explore the different characters. Like there's a variety of achievements, mostly like get through the arcade mode, which is kind of your standard, you know, fighter to fighter tournament style kind of thing. Go through that mode with 5 characters, go through it with 10, go through 15, and then all of them. And that was enough to get me to just continue trying characters. I started with Powdered Toast Man and I kind of went through the characters I knew. And what I found, Ryan, was like, I actually started liking each next character better than the last one. Even though I came to the game for Powdered Toast Man, I ended up liking like April O'Neil probably best. She is awesome.
I've heard a lot of people like, talking about the game, really liking her playing as her. So
April is great. And she has a great move where like the kind of like jump the savior kind of move where you're falling down. You want to jump up and get a double jump. She flies a blimp. Like she whips out a blimp and flies out there, man.
It's the turtle's blimp. It's a real thing.
It's pretty good. It's you know, there's the online. I think, were you there when I was playing online?
Yeah, I was watching. I was watching your stream. Yeah, I was just. I was not in Discord with you, but we were. I was there.
Lobby system, Ryan, pretty good. I like the lobby system. One-on-one matches working pretty good. Four player battles, not the best. So I think, you know, results will vary on this front. And I'm going to be keeping my eye on this one because, you know, it really did surprise me. I think you and I maybe had our doubts a little bit on like the quality based on maybe some of the other games that this developer had made maybe in the past. But this is pretty solid. Like I'd say like I'm not going to give it a number, but I almost wanted to give like an indication of like kind of where I'm at. But it's like it's pretty surprisingly good.
Yeah.
And definitely some polish to be made on that multiplayer side. I wish the characters jumped into the battles with like an actual like voice clip, like something from their show or whatever. Instead they kind of jump in and it's a text thing that you read and it's like, oh yeah, Powdered Toast Man is saying Powdered Toast Man. Like that would be so much better. It would really rock into the nostalgia if there was something from the actual characters. And then of course, you know, they've got Ren and Stimpy and Powdered Toast Man from that, and they've got Michelangelo and Leonardo and April, but there's clearly characters missing. There's clearly opportunity for them to expand this roster, and I'm looking forward for that and other sort of enhancements and more polish on this game as time goes on.
Nice. Yeah, I mean, we were both scheduled because, like, the same developer did, like, these Nickelodeon kart racing games, like, two of them, and they're both really terrible, but this really sounds like a good, like, first entry in what could be like a bigger thing. They could do like yearly releases like this, where they add like more and more content to it, or even not necessarily year releases, but like every 2 years, for example, they release a new game with a bunch of new modes and stuff like that. Cause really from when I was watching your stream, the one thing that this was really missing was like all the other modes that Smash has, because it's got like kind of the arcade mode and kind of like the basic like 2v, like 1v1 or like 4-player fighting system. in there. But beyond that, you don't really have like the modes like Break the Targets or like a story-based campaign or like even something like Spirit Mode from Smash. So I think that's why I think it's probably like a good like first entry for them to kind of get their feet wet with something like this. And then because it sounds like there's a solid foundation as far as the combat is concerned. And as well with the characters, the way the characters are balanced. So it's just a matter of,
I don't know about the balance. I don't know. That's the one thing I will say.
Oh, that's just what I've heard from other people.
Enough in these types of things. Oh, okay. I mean, there may be one of those characters in there. Like maybe April O'Neil is the one that's just like way super overpowered or something. I don't know, man. The other thing too, that I would mention is that there's, I noticed when I played this on a variety of displays, actually, when I was streaming, I was playing on a display with variable response rate on it, and I didn't really notice a whole lot of performance issues on the Series S. And then I brought the Series S upstairs where I've got a plasma, if you can believe it or not, and it does not, of course, have variable response rate. And it was pretty janky on that front. Like it was actually pretty distracting that the frame rate just really seemed to struggle. And I don't know really what to make of that other than to say that I noticed it. I don't know why that's the case. I don't know why like a Series S would struggle with a game like this, but it definitely could use a patch or two on that front as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And this is something that when I heard you mention this, I assumed that it might have been an issue that we saw with Assassin's Creed Valhalla when it first came out that I noticed when we were doing kind of the review for Valhalla. Because if you played the version for Series X specifically on a Series X or Series S on a TV that didn't have variable refresh rate, basically there'd be a ton of screen tearing with the game that wasn't really present in like any other version of the game. So it sounded like to me that version was coded in such a way where they had assumed that if you were playing on a Series S or Series X, that you would have a variable refresh rate TV because that console supports that feature. And I'm imagining something probably similar happened here. Because, I mean, I know you don't have your Xbox One out there, Sean, but if you were to play it maybe on Xbox One, I'm curious if you'd run into the same issue.
That's a good point. Isn't that really interesting? Because it's obviously less powerful, but maybe you don't run into those issues. That'd be, man, I should probably bust that thing out.
Well, what I'm going to do, because I'm going to be talking about this with Matt Sawinski on the PlayStation Drive tomorrow, because he's also been playing it, but he's been playing on PlayStation 5, which obviously doesn't support variable refresh rate. So I'm curious to know what he thinks, and maybe we can do like a compare contrast kind of thing. Because maybe I'm pretty sure that it's what I described, where they had assumed, like they tailored it that version in mind with variable refresh rate in mind, which of course in Assassin's Creed Valhalla that still hasn't been fixed, and I don't know if it'll ever get.
That's crazy. Crazy. The number of displays that don't have it, I think vast, like over. There's way more of those than people who have VR are. I don't think that's.
And again, this is just me spitballing. Question. I don't know for sure if that's actually what's happening with this game. But I'm curious to know what Matt's going to say about it tomorrow. So if you want to know more, we'll talk about it on the PlayStation Drive tomorrow when I talk to Matt about his PS5 impressions to see if like they're any different. Because who knows? Maybe this is just an Xbox-specific issue. But I guess we'll find out.
Yeah, and it's one of the games that I think is sprinkled in to add a little bit of flavor in with like kind of the big games here. I think the Hot Wheels game that came out recently is up there as well of like, kind of nice little surprises. And if anybody has either Hot Wheels or this Nickelodeon game, like hit me up, man. I'd love to jump into these games. I should say Nickelodeon for now, All-Star Brawl. Definitely would love to play with somebody and test out that online experience. And then I think probably Hot Wheels will be like a Black Friday kind of thing or a holiday sale of some sort. I'm hoping for that to come on down because it's I can't just pay full price for every single game this year. You know what I mean, Ryan? Like there's just too many games, man.
Oh, I know exactly what you mean because I'm literally in the same place with Hot Wheels at this point where I'm pretty much waiting for a sale on it. Same with Cruise and Blast. I've heard so many amazing things about Cruise and Blast. It's a game I really want to play, but I'm like, I can't justify paying $50 for this right this second when I have so many other games to play. So I think
you said it best. I wanted to jump on that because it sounds like I'm being super cheap, which I kind of am, but also I just know that I won't be able to dive into that fully right now. So I think that's a
way. Especially with me, like I know I won't be able to dive into it until it's on sale anyway. So I might as well just wait at that point, right? So.
Exactly. Yep. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, other game we've both been playing, War Far Cry 6. I really didn't get to play it all that much more since the last time we talked because Metroid came out and I basically played and beat Metroid in a weekend. Then I also played a game that I'm talking about on the PlayStation Drive tomorrow that I can't discuss here. So I didn't really get too much more time with Far Cry 6. I'm still not at the end yet. I put maybe 5 more hours into it, but I'll get there eventually. I think I'm getting pretty close to the end. But I guess maybe by the time next week's show happens, we'll have it finished. But Sean, what about you? Where are you with this
game? Yeah, I'm coming at you, man. I'm staying up late. I'm playing the game. I'm dedicated. I want to make sure that I get it finished. One thing I don't think that we chatted about last week was just sort of like the basic structure of the game. I think we talked a lot about like comparing like the gameplay, the moment to moment versus like this year versus the last Far Cry. Really, the structure of the game is quite similar. I was almost surprised to see how similar it was in terms of like heading to basically three main areas of the map with a particular objective. In Far Cry 5, you were hunting down sort of like mini bosses before you got to Joseph Seed. This time around, it seems like you are trying to recruit, you know, additional rebellion help to try and really overtake this Anton Castillo, who is just phenomenal. The more I play this, the more cinematics and story beats kind of happen. I get to see this character more and more, and he's just absolutely phenomenal. Probably will go down as one of the best villains unless something kind of crazy happens as I go on here. I'm at a pretty important part of the game, Ryan. I think last time we chatted, I had just finished like the Great Plateau kind of version, almost like the intro. This week I am done the first third of it. I went and recruited the Monteros. There's two other main groups that I think that I've got to go recruit. At least that's how it's pitching it to me right now before taking down the big bad. And what I would say to some people, because I've had a journey on it this week. I think last week I was quite high on it. This week I think I had a challenging week with Far Cry 6 where I just kept getting taken out by helicopters and tanks and the dying was kind of a lot. And I had this realization, I think I messaged you about this, that the game actually feels quite a lot like Grand Theft Auto. Like with this, I don't know what you
it's
would
called
call
the
like
heat
a tiered... Yeah, where it's almost like in GTA where the police would get more and more angry with you the more crimes you would commit.
Yeah, like the
and
bar kind of like fills up and when it gets to the top, all the top agents hunt you down. And basically you have enemies literally spawning on top of you. It's very annoying.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And like it's one thing that Far Cry has kind of had walked a line, I think, throughout its entirety is it's an open world that you want to be able to go explore. But like ultimately, you are in enemy territory almost always. So people should look at you with, you know, do that double take and go, what are you doing here? And they probably should shoot at me. But that can also get in the way of a really enjoyable, explorative kind of experience that I might be also looking for. I want to just get from point A to point B without being hunted down by an entire army. It's very suitable for what is happening in this game. But I had a bit of a struggle with it this week, man. And I would say one of the things that I came away realizing was sometimes it's better to just hit the story beats and let that do your leveling up. You'll get, you know, all of your guns. You can buy new guns. You get the experience, all the currency that you'll need to buy new gear through that. I think I might have gotten a little carried away with various either side quests or even just things to do on the map. This is the Ubisoft model. You walk around and somebody will go like, I found this thing over here. And there's a thing you should probably check out over there. I've marked it on your map. Like that's very typical. And I don't think I realized soon enough that that is probably infinite. Like I actually could see that being almost like a procedurally generated thing where they go, you should go check this thing over there. I don't know that there's a finish to that. So don't try is kind of my recommendation, at least at this stage, because the story moments I think are really, really good. I think the story missions for the most part are really good. I had one that I'll talk about and then kind of shut up. One mission, I was flying around in a fighter jet of some sort, and I was bombing these kind of tobacco fields. And the flying is good, but the bombing wasn't all that good. So I'm kind of mixed on Far Cry 6 as things kind of go on here, Ryan Turford.
And it sounds like you're, even though we're not necessarily like meh about kind of the same things, it feels like we're somehow getting to the same conclusion anyways.
Totally.
Which is bizarre. Because I was doing a lot of stuff on the map too outside the story content as well when we thought we were going to just get the review out last week, trying to play through that as much as possible. And going up and blowing like up like anti-aircraft at bases and taking out bases and stuff like that. But it almost made it so that like, because there's so much more story content that you have to play through in this game, it almost
there really made is.
Me, it made me kind of burn out on the game a little bit faster than I probably would have if the game was, you know, like Far Cry 5, because I quoted last week's show, my playtime with Far Cry 5, where I played it for 25 hours and that was enough Far Cry for me. Like, I didn't need any more than that. And
that was
enough to basically have me finish the story. Whereas, again, I've put double the amount of time into this game. And that's where I think, like, this is where I'm like, I'm getting the same kind of feeling where I was like through the second half of Alien Isolation, where it was like a 20-hour game. And I was like, this really could have been over 10 hours ago. That's kind of how I feel about this game, too.
Because I don't know what the carrot is necessarily, like, other than you get to go blow up more stuff, which I'm here for. Like, I like that. I don't want them to stray too far from that. There's some awesome moments of, I just got this gun that basically shoots off fireworks, and Ed Placencia, actually, twitch.tv/Ed Placencia, good friend of the show, he showed me this weapon. I'm like, well, that will solve my helicopter and tank problem pretty well. So highly recommend that. But there's not much of a, like, I don't know, maybe I'm missing something. I don't feel like there's much of a reason to really do all those side missions, because I don't like, there's not really much of an experience kind of leveling up kind of thing. I don't feel more powerful, which is what I would feel in more of a traditional kind of action RPG sense, where I would clear out the map and maybe that makes it less intimidating or fewer forces for me to deal with. That's not the case here. So I just, after a while, I'm like, why am I doing this? Why am I like trying to clear the map of infinite pieces or infinite quests and things? That's not worth it. There's no leveling up, so to speak, in at least in my mind, like in a meaningful way. So I'll just stick to the story. And I think I might come back next week with a little bit more of a positive take on this, but I'm actually really enjoying this process chatting about it with you, Ryan, because I'm on a journey, just like probably a lot of people like us would be playing a game. Like, most people don't play a game in 72 hours and then pop out the other side and go, this is how it is. Like, that's not a natural gaming experience, but I'm basically just walking people along my journey as I take it here, my friend.
Yeah. And I mean, there is a leveling system in the game, but the level system is like for buying new weapons from Carlos.
Right.
But that's literally all you really get. You're not really getting new skills or anything like that. And I will say one side piece of content that was really helpful to the gameplay experience was taking out the anti-aircraft bases, because then you can fly the helicopters or the planes like kind of unimpeded at that point.
Which actually is like the best, it's like some of my favorite stuff in the game, Ryan. Yeah. Flying the helicopters is awesome. Yeah,
or totally. Not only that, but you can also do like an airdrop on specific locations when you do the fast travel, which allows you to use the wingsuit if you've unlocked it to then kind of cover massive distance to get to areas that maybe you don't have fast travel abilities to
pro
get
strats.
To. I think there are reasons for doing some of it, but like the main fortresses or the checkpoints and stuff, it's like, yeah, I don't know if I really need to do all that stuff. It's kind of just there.
Did you do any of the cockfighting, Ryan? Did you cockfight?
No, I stayed far away from that, Sean, because
it's pretty vicious stuff, man. I can't believe
game.
It's a thing.
Like a fighting game.
And there's a side quest all about it too. There's some guy with like a lab somewhere where he's raising these things and he's feeding them something special. And it's a whole thing. They really lean into it. There's basically a fighting mini game in this. And they've got the two, I guess, what are they, roosters? Like some sort of poultry. They're just muscled out and it looks like Street Fighter. And you got movesets and everything. It's very strange, man. So yeah, beware of that. Yeah. It's something. There's lots here. There's lots to unpack.
For sure. That's why we're going to have a bigger discussion about Far Cry 6 probably next week. We don't have an exact time and date set up for that, but that will be happening at some point. So stay tuned for that. And I got to get it back on track because we're 24 minutes into the show. But the last thing I want to say before we get to breaking news is I also played NHL 22 this week, Sean, because it's out.
I'm so jealous.
It's on EA Access. So anyone can play.
Yes, of course.
Because I didn't go buy it because, I mean, I'm going to wait for it to come to the vault, essentially, which is
the move
I have. I liked what I played. That you could definitely tell that with the next gen versions of the game, they moved to a new engine. It is Frostbite. So there is that, but you can definitely tell there's like a layer of visual polish that wasn't there on the previous gen versions. And I think it actually looks a lot better, especially like the arenas and the ice in particular. It's got some of the shiniest ice I've ever seen in a game, first of all. But
Ryan, you just talked about polish and layers and frostbite. Like, this all makes sense. The puns are just like they're amazing.
It's right there in front of my face.
You've hit, I think, 6 puns, right all of them. Mm-hmm.
Totally, of course, planned out. 100%.
The Zamboni polished NHL 22.
Best part is I played my first game against the Edmonton Oilers and I beat them 5-0, and I was very proud of myself, Sean.
I thought this was a realistic game. I thought this was a thing.
We talk about the Calgary Flames beat the Edmonton Oilers all the time. That's how that works.
Oh my gosh. You know what? I want like old school. Was this a thing? I want like 1989 Calgary Flames versus 1989 Edmonton Oilers. You know, I want, or like even like 1994. Like, let's get back into those days. I want to see like old rosters. I don't want it to be up to date. I don't know who these kids are right now.
I have a funny feeling that when I walk up to Sean in person next week, and if I'm wearing my Calgary Flames hat, he's just going to flap it off my head.
I might set it on fire. I'll show you a Calgary Flame. Clearly. You know what I mean?
Clearly. Yeah. So NHL 22, it's pretty fun. I'm waiting for it to come to the vault, but I actually
we should play
like
against
it.
Each other.
We should. We should do that.
We should play. Maybe next week we're going to be in the same room together.
We are going to be in the same room together next week. It's going to be
amazing.
Thing. So there you go. All right. I'm slamming the brakes on this conversation, Sean. It's time for some breaking news. Slow news week, though, because all the games are coming out, so we don't have too many news stories to go through. But first one was actually a really interesting one because we know that the 20-year anniversary of the Xbox is coming up, but we had literally heard nothing about what they were going to do for the 20-year anniversary besides the 20-year anniversary Halo console. That's coming out. They're also doing some other cool stuff. So Microsoft have announced a new controller and Xbox wireless headset celebrating 20 years of Xbox. Both products will be a translucent gray color with the controller featuring a black and Xbox green colors on the back. You also have like the Xbox green behind the D-pad as well on the controller.
Yeah.
And then the headset is going to also feature green on the microphone itself, as well as on the plastic between kind of the headband and the earmuffs, essentially. Both are basically going to launch on the same day on November 15th, which is officially the 20th birthday of the Xbox. So of course, celebrating their birthday in style. But before I ask you about what you think about this, Sean, I want to bring in Eric Cave from YouTube.
Nice.
He left a question there about this. He said, while listening to this show, I saw the announcement for the new 20th anniversary controller from Xbox. I love the translucent gray cover with the green accents that call back to the OG Xbox, and I'm super tempted to get it. However, I love my Elite Series 2 controller, and I can't imagine going back to a regular controller. This leads to my question for you guys. How many controllers is too many, and is it bad to get a controller and not use it that much? Basically, I need you to convince me to get this new 20th anniversary one. So, Sean, what do you think about this announcement as well as Eric's question?
First of all, I think November 15th probably was supposed to be the Halo date. Wouldn't it be amazing to buy Halo, walk into a store, buy Halo, buy a console, buy a headset, buy a controller, all the things? It's too bad that that didn't make it, but that's okay. I think the controller is outrageously gorgeous. I think they completely hit it out of the park. I am buying this, even though I did just purchase a Design Labs with the Xbox Drive design on it, the rubber design that we've created thanks to our patrons. I will be buying this 1,000%. I think Xbox has actually kind of taken the mantle away from Nintendo on this front, because the design itself kind of reminds me of what Nintendo did with the Splatoon Pro controllers, which I love, the green and the pink on the handles, and the sort of like see-through kind of design with some not see-through elements to it. I think this is great. I feel like you might not be right there with me, but I'll turn it over to you in a second. But this is to say that, Eric, yes, there's not too many. There's never too many controllers. You don't need to use a controller. I actually don't think that I would be using this controller either. I will also say that I have gone back from using an Elite controller to using just the regular controllers that come with the Series consoles, because I actually think those controllers are so damn good that I actually don't miss my Elite nearly as much as I would have imagined prior to going back, my friend.
Yeah, I mean, I'm in agreement with you. I don't think necessarily, you know, you can have too many controllers. Well, maybe you can.
Not when they're this good. Not when they're this, like, I think they put a lot of care into this one. But I think whether or not people like it, it's up to the individual. But because I feel
it's
like
all,
you might not
it's
like
all
these.
Aesthetics choice. And it's not so first of all, I'm not super excited about this one. And this is one that I'm not personally picking up, but there is a reason for that. And that is, it pretty much looks like the Nintendo Switch Pro controller to me, which is also already a design I don't really love super much. Not only that, but like, I love different color controllers that are not necessarily black or gray controllers. Like, I'm more in the like crazy colors camp. Like, I would have snap bought this is this was like the same green as the OG Xbox controller S green that you were able to get that that actually matches my OG controller S's at home. But since that isn't an option, that's why I think I'm a little less excited about this. And that's why, like, I already have enough controllers already, because I have at least 12 Xbox One or Series S controllers over the years, because I've just collected so many of them from all kinds of different colors. So I probably don't need any more. That's why I think I'm going to hold on.
12 just sounds like a big number. Not only that, how many I've got.
You probably actually have just as many. But not only that, but I'm also buying the Halo Xbox, which also comes with a Halo 20th anniversary controller, which is what I prefer more. So because I'm already buying a 20th anniversary product from Xbox, it's just the Halo branded one. That's why I'm leaning more towards that versus this one anyways as well.
But I regret not pre-ordering that Halo console, even just to make my mind up later. And I bring that up to say this too, Ryan. Number one, Donnie Reese, I think, is right with you on that. The green would have been better than the black. So I think you're not alone on that front. You've at least got Donnie, I'm sure a few others. I also want to give a quick shout out to the Nintendo Drive that I recorded yesterday. I feel like I ranted maybe a little too hard. I haven't even heard anything back from people, but I just want to walk that back a little bit. I kind of apologize. And if people want to know what I'm talking about, you have to check out the Nintendo Drive, Paul.
Yeah, you guys talked about a lot of stuff, a lot of controversial topics on yesterday's show.
I felt whiny about it. I didn't like how that. I couldn't even listen back to our show, and I usually really enjoy listening back to us, but there you go.
Well, actually, Sean, no, just kidding. All right, next announcement is something we already knew was coming because it already was rated by like four different ratings boards. But Grand Theft Auto, the Trilogy Definitive Edition, has been announced for Xbox One and Xbox Series X and S. It will contain updated versions of GTA 3, Vice City, and San Andreas with new graphical and gameplay enhancements. They will launch sometime later this year. Also, important thing to note about this for us Xbox users is that they had Xbox Classic versions of these games that were available on the store that you could buy for 360 that were compatible with that console. They are actually being delisted when this comes out. So just be aware that that's a thing.
How convenient.
But that's actually also happening on literally every platform that those games are available on, including PC and PlayStation, which I know people are not happy about. So I wanted to throw that in here. I think, this is an awesome announcement because those are games that I think are really fun. Yes, they do have their problems, especially mission design-wise in particular, especially with Vice City and San Andreas, if you go back and play those games in particular. But I did actually full episodes about these on the Crossroads earlier this year, because I put them both on my list, and I think that they're both great games, despite the helicopter mission in Vice City making me want to throw my controller out the window.
Oh, wow. Infamous.
But Sean, what do you think about this announcement?
It's so important. These games are so important, and for a variety of reasons. They're just so popular. They changed. They basically invented an entire genre, of course. And they're speaking of Infamous, like, these are notorious games. And parents, we were basically kids. I think you and I are similar in age, maybe a couple years different. But like, we were probably too young when we were playing these games. Probably a little too young. And now here we are. We're older, wiser, and we now we're old enough to actually play these games. Very cool that they're being brought to next-gen stuff. I'm very curious to know about loading times. I don't know why that's the first thing that springs to mind for me when thinking about Grand Theft Auto and on new hardware. It's like, that title screen won't stand a chance. We'll just get right into the game and play, and that'll be super cool. And for a lot of people who, I mean, maybe might have missed it, it's really, this is probably going to be the best way to experience those games. I haven't played them really in a long time. I haven't fired up those games in forever. And I can only imagine how janky they would be to go back to the originals. But I think you've played these games pretty recently.
Oh, I did. I played them last year to prepare for the Crossroads. And they're very, like, if you go into the mindset that they're, like, very arcadey, just over the top, like, not realistic in any way kind of experiences, you're going to have a good time.
Right.
But whereas if you're expecting some kind of, you know, semblance of realism, like, no, it's not there. Like, the driving kind of sucks. The shooting kind of sucks, but you know what? Yeah. You could have fun blowing
stuff
up. It's
all mediocre.
And because that was something that Rockstar just improved over the years, like especially with Grand Theft Auto V in particular, where it was the first game that I can remember from them where they finally got the driving right into Grand Theft Auto game, and the combat didn't feel as clunky as some of the other games.
Whereas all the genres mixed into one. It was like RPG and driving game, like racing game and shooting game and all of the things. And there's, of course, all the mini games as well. They would never be top tier any of those like kind of mechanics at all. There's no way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. So it's just, they went for the kitchen sink approach, which is why they couldn't perfect everything. I think for newer fans of Grand Theft Auto, I think these might be a little bit harder to go back to because, again, if you've only played Grand Theft Auto V in particular, it's going to be hard to go back and do like some of the escort missions, for example, in some of these games, or some of the like hair pulling inducing missions in these games as well. Like the mission structure is not as refined as today's. But they also said that there are some gameplay enhancements coming with the game, so maybe they're going to smooth some of the stuff out. So I'm just excited to see what they look like in action. We just got a quick trailer basically just showing that some of the art from these games, but we haven't really seen any of them in action yet. So I'm curious to know what changes or how they're going to tinker with some of these and just how much of an improvement they're going to be besides maybe
or
just
music.
The kind of cool stuff. Yeah, if all the music's
gonna come back, that'll be
interesting.
Obviously just a massive part of the experience. Yeah, like between that and also I think it might be interesting even just to jump in as a like almost like a time capsule because these are so like it's such a social commentary really in a hyper kind of way. I'd like to go like what were we talking about back when these games came out? Like what are they going to be sensationalizing or satirizing in these games? And it's probably a big reason why we probably won't get a Grand Theft Auto for quite a while. I don't know that we have the same environment socially for a game like that. So it'd be interesting to jump back into that when it was like, that was what people were looking for in their entertainment. Like they were looking for things that like push the envelope and yet they're probably offensive on a number of levels. I'm very curious to see how that holds up in today's landscape. I'm more fascinated than anything. I kind of want to just walk this line very carefully to go, I don't want to just like go into something that is, you know, 15 years old or whatever, just because it's super offensive and that's what I'm here for. I'm kind of just more interested to see what Pandora's box are we opening here? What did we talk about? How were we pissing people off back then?
Well,
and we were like, that's the thing. We were upsetting people back then. Man, what are people going to say about Grand Theft Auto, these Grand Theft Auto games now in 2021?
Well, see, here's the thing, though. I should preface the fact, though, that like one of these games takes place in the 80s and one of them takes place in the 90s. So the talking, like if you listen to the talk radio in those games or if you play through the story mode, they're not necessarily hitting on points that happened. Like they're not all about social commentary from the era they came out in. A lot of them are social commentary on things that happened in the 80s or 90s. So I think it's a different flair. It's very much Grand Theft Auto 3 in particular. That one is all about kind of the early 2000s because that's when it came out. Because that game is almost 20 years old at this point. So or it is about 20 years old, I think. So I think that's interesting thing. But yeah, I'm curious to know how people are going to react to some of the stuff that's in that game because it's been a while. It's been a while for something.
Yeah, I think it's less about like when the games are set, but more just like where was the envelope and how did it get pushed back when these games first came out? Like, I think that's really what I'm interested to see. But you're right. Like they're sort of period pieces, if you can go so far to say something like that about Grand Theft Auto.
For sure. All right, Sean, let's put some of our friends into the car with us. It is time for the carpool. Folks at home, if you would like to have your question read and answered on the carpool, there's a number of ways to do that. Number one, follow us on Twitter at YouMeCapriz. We put up a question post every single Tuesday afternoon. You can leave your question there and we'll read it on the show. Or if you leave a comment on YouTube, just like Eric Cave did, we'll read it on the show. Or you can join our Discord. It's free to join. The link's in the show notes. You can leave your question in the Xbox Drive section. Just make sure to tag Sean or I in there, and we'll make sure to answer it on the show, just like Hopple via Discord did. And Hopple asked the question, what is your opinion on games where you control a mouse pointer with the analog sticks? There are some good and some bad games. And I think he actually listed some of these suggestions, right, John, that are on the document?
That's right.
Like Lost Worlds, he says, is a good one. Violet Remastered. I don't even know what game that is. Apparently that's bad.
Neither.
The Procession to Calvary, he's not really sure about. And then No Man's Sky, he says, is good. So funny enough, we were talking about Far Cry, Sean, a game where you control the mouse pointer as well as pretty much every modern Ubisoft title is kind of falls into this boat. I don't really like it that much because it just takes longer to get around the menus. One of the things I do appreciate about Far Cry 6 in particular, though, is that, yes, you control the mouse pointer, but if you just press the up, down, left, or right on the D-pad, you'll just immediately go to the different options. So you can just pretend like that's not even an option there and you just go about your business. But not every game does that. But personally, I don't love this. Sean, what do you think?
It's sort of like just arrived, you know, it's like, and this is how UI is going to be. This is how the user interface is going to be. I think that that's more fascinating to me than really anything else about it. And you're right. Far Cry does it the best. I don't have like a disdain for it. I'm just more like, where did this come from? And like, it's blatantly the same across the board. It's just like somebody's copying somebody. I don't know what the original one was, but it does seem like
Destiny 1, first one I could think of. Destiny 1, I think.
And like and No Man's Sky was right around there as well. Like I think we're talking like 2014, 2015 this time.
Yeah.
And that's and they're just so similar. I don't know if this is something like baked into like, I don't know, Unreal 4 or something. I don't even know if that's what engine Far Cry even uses. I don't know. But it's everywhere. I don't hate it. I don't think that I think we've kind of answered the question about what does it the best. I think Far Cry 6 is right there, man.
Yeah, especially because they just make it optional. It's there if you want it. Next up, Court Lalonde at Court Lalonde asked the question, what with the release of Forza and Halo in the next 2 months, Xbox is about to own the news cycle. Will they be able to ride this momentum into 2023? Maybe. I mean, I don't know how much Forza and Halo are necessarily going to dominate the news cycle or own it necessarily, because I think, don't get me wrong, Court, I think that they're two of the biggest games coming out for the rest of the year, but I don't know necessarily if they're going to own the news cycle, because there's a lot of games coming up between now and then, or even after that, because just looking at the Yumi Capri spreadsheet for next year, it's kind of ridiculous already. Like I was commenting on Discord, Sean, but I'm already at 30 games coming out in the first 3 months of next year.
Good God.
And those are just notable releases. We don't put every game that's coming out on there, so... I think it's tougher just to stand out with this many games going on. So I don't know if they're necessary. I would debate the point about them being able to own the news cycle, but I think they're going to be able to carry the momentum until their next release. But we don't even know when their next release is happening at this point. I mean, it could be a year or so away. Like, who knows? Like Starfield, we know
you're
is coming
crazy
out next November. But
a year away.
Yeah. Well, I mean, no Starfield's way. Coming out next November, but what do you think is coming up from Microsoft between now and next November, Sean?
Well, what I actually think is happening here is maybe they've got an opportunity. We chatted about this. Maybe they have a chance to finally like kind of settle into a bit more of a Nintendo style of promoting what the next game is. Like they've really got us focused in on these two games, which they should. These are massive. I think that Forza is going to be enormous. I think they're going to just check off all the boxes. It looks really, really good. There is some previews that came out and some glowing previews coming out. And so at least if you're in the Game Pass kind of ecosystem, you are focused on these two things. Back 4 Blood just came out as well. So I do think they're going to dominate quite well. And especially when you think about like relative to what, right? Like where is Gran Turismo? It's nowhere to be found. Where is Call of Duty?
March.
It's not even close to Forza, right? Like I think Forza will dominate that space and I think it will be massively popular. Halo will dominate the first person shooter space and be interested to see because they've almost got a really good timing in between things for Destiny, expansion packs for Destiny. So they've got a nice spot to kind of win some people over from all different first-person shooter experiences. And it's free, of course, with multiplayer. I think it's unwise to underestimate Halo and its dominance this this holiday season. Yeah.
Well, of the three shooters in particular, I will agree with you on that one. They do have the momentum of the big three with Call of Duty and Battlefield, because after that Battlefield beta, I think that killed a lot of people's excitement about that. And then Call of Duty, I don't think people are super excited about, but it's going to still sell millions anyways because of the casual crowd. So it's just going to be interesting what people are going to talk about. But
Battlefield will be delayed. Mark my words. Battlefield will be delayed, Ryan Turford. It will be by the time before we record next week, I think we'll get a tweet saying like we'll get the CD Projekt Red style JPEG with the announcement.
God, I hope so. All right. Last quick question comes to us from Ribble at Riboflavins on Twitter.
Ribo!
I know. I couldn't believe he asked a question either, but this one's more of a Sean question, but I'll answer too. He says, going deep with this one, have you ever actually won anything on McDonald's Monopoly? Sean, you were tweeting about and talking about McDonald's Monopoly on last week's show. What is the biggest you've ever won from McDonald's Monopoly? Have you won anything?
I just realized I didn't get McDonald's. I've won like hamburgers and fries and small drinks and stuff like that, but not any of the prizes that they print on the side of the stuff. So that's, it's a sad, sad state. And I play it. Like I keep all the pieces and I go to, you guys know this, I go to McDonald's a sickening amount. So I haven't won anything really, but you know, maybe we need to get together. Maybe we almost need to have like an office pool on this. Like what other pieces does everybody have? Like in my car right now, I've got Miles Canyon and the Ronald McDonald, what is this, the house charity thing, Alberta location. That if I get all those pieces, like the railroad thing, yep. I got two of those. If I get all four of those, I get $1,000.
I got the Toronto Airport, Sean. I can have that.
Okay.
So there you go.
I got the Columbia Ice Field.
I feel like I need Niagara to bring Falls. My Monopoly pieces from this year to Toronto with me so we can, you know, plan this out, Sean. As for me,
Niagara Falls is like the park place. I need the boardwalk. Whatever the boardwalk is, then we're talking.
That one's so hard to get though, Sean.
Yeah, you have no idea. Impossible.
As for me, the biggest one I won was actually an instant winner, so it wasn't actually a big prize on the board either, but it was a $100 gift card from McDonald's. That was the biggest prize.
To McDonald's.
Yeah. No, amazing. So it basically paid for a McDonald's coffee every single day for work for like a couple months. So
or nuts. One really romantic evening, right?
Or one really romantic evening by myself, Sean.
Yeah. Light the candles, get a couple Big Macs. Mm-hmm. Good time.
I'm shaking my head.
I'm so hungry right now.
Anyways, we gotta go so Sean can get some food. But before we go, Sean, plugs go.
Huge plug, twitch.tv/SeanCapri, Saturday night this weekend. We are going to be, what date is that, Ryan? I don't know if you can help me on the calendar here. We're going to be playing Back for Blood. We're going to take a quick break on Halo Saturdays. We're playing Back for Blood. It's on Game Pass. You all have it. Let's get everybody together. Let's shoot some zombies. Let's have some fun. twitch.tv/SeanCapri. Get in that Discord, man. I'm telling you guys, it's the best place to be. The links are in the show notes. Get on in there. It's free. You don't have to be a patron. So twitch.tv/SeanCapri, Discord. Follow me on Twitter at Sean Capri. It's Sean like Connery, Capri like the pants. I'm going to go to the vet hospital here and pick up some drugs for my dog who's on his last days, my friend. He's not doing so good. We'll drug him up anyways. That's okay. He's old.
As for me, you can find me on Twitter at Ryan Turford. Also, shout out to myself for the crossroads because we're hitting the top five this weekend.
Wow.
I'm very excited to make Joey Splats mad at kind of my picks for the top five. It's going to be very exciting. So look out for that on the podcast feed. Lastly, you can find us on Twitter at YouMeCapri, on podcast services around the globe, as well as youtube.com/YouMeCapri. So for Sean Capri, I'm Ryan Turford. This has been episode 211 of the Xbox Drive, and we out. Bye.
Thanks for listening, everybody. The Xbox Drive is fueled by patrons at patreon.com/YouMeCapri. And from the bottom of my heart, I am so grateful to the nearly 70 patrons who support us each and every month. With special thanks to our Capremium producers, Dallas Ford, Lee Navarro, the fearless leader of the Phoenix Overdrive Extra Life team, and Jonathan Brown, the man behind the music on the Xbox Drive and the Nintendo Drive. You can support Jonathan Brown at youtube.com/GamingPurpleMonkey. Our platinum producers, Robbie Bobby Miller and Trucker Sloth, and all of our gold members, Argo, Benji Kong, Brendan Myers, Dallas Robbins, Dano, Emily O'Kelly, Foolish Fuji, Heather Boney, James Johnson, Dr. Doom, Joel Brooks, Jose Jimenez, Mac Time, Marcus O'Neill, Mr. and Mrs. Nasty Boots, RJ Kern, Skinny Matt, and Xavier Reyes. If you'd like to support this show, go to patreon.com/YouMeCapri and choose the Patreon tier that works for you.